This edition of Farming the Countryside is brought to you by ProFarmer. ProFarmer provides key information to help farmers make profitable decisions. Go to tryprofarmer.com for your free trial today. Welcome to Farming the Countryside. I'm Andrew McRae. Benjamin Franklin once said that nothing is certain in life except for death and taxes. We talk about both subjects with Paul Niefer as we look at what is the best tax strategy in 2024 and beyond, and how to reduce some of the tax implications for our heirs when we do pass away. It's our topic for this week's Farming the Countryside, and is brought to you by ProFarmer. Start making confident marketing decisions with ProFarmer. ProFarmer's condensed style is designed to save you time while giving you the important information you need when making those important marketing decisions. And you'll stay on top of profit opportunities with ProFarmer's mobile sell alerts and easy-to-use mobile app. Spring planting is underway in many locations, so take a look at how to market the seed you are planting, plus the grain still in the bin, and get insights in the livestock markets as well. Start a ProFarmer free trial today by visiting tryprofarmer.com. That's tryprofarmer.com. Few of us really love to discuss taxes, but we all have to pay them. And it's important to think about the implications in the present and how those decisions impact the future. In some cases, those decisions can have an impact measured in the millions of dollars. And with the value of land, that can be a situation that is the case for many. Paul Niefer is one man that not only enjoys talking about this subject, but he works with farms across the nation, sharing some real-life examples that often hit home. Here's our conversation. Paul Niefer joins me, and Paul, we always have a good discussion of everything related to taxes, accounting, and stuff that we should be thinking about, but often don't think about in time. Paul, let's start here. Tax Cuts Act will be expiring, should at the end of next year. Of course, lots of things can happen. But first of all, just walk me through what that means for me as a farmer, rancher, person in agriculture.
Yeah, so we go back to 2017 when Trump was in office and they passed sort of, they call it the Trump tax cuts. For most farmers, their tax brackets, every single tax bracket got reduced other than the 10% tax bracket. Also, the when you have the new Section 199 Cap A deduction, well, what does that mean? That's that extra 20% deduction that farmers get to take off of their farm income on their tax return. That expires at the end of next year. And I think what one thing, in my opinion, that's even more important for farmers, you know, Andrew, since 2018, when this really went into effect, we've had some pretty rapid increases in farmland values. I mean, we've seen doublings or more farmland values for a lot of farmers, which means they're likely facing a potential estate tax bill if they don't do some changes or make some gifting right now. Now, the current lifetime exemption sounds like a pretty good sized number. You know, it's $13.6 million for each person, which is about $27 million for a farm couple. But that gets cut in half starting the year after next, so in 2026. So, and these days, you know, a $7 million lifetime exemption barely covers 350 acres in Iowa or Illinois at good farmland. So they really need to be looking at making some gifts.
Well, let's talk through some of that, because first of all, with the tax cuts, a lot can happen between now and then. Obviously, we've got a presidential election. So Either way that goes will probably determine whether that's renewed or not. Is that what you would suspect?
Yeah, I think it's yes. And also, you know, we've already heard that, let's say on Trump's side, Trump is mulling over proposing some middle-class tax cuts. Biden certainly would like to extend the Trump tax cuts for people earning less than $400,000. So there is a good chance that some of this may get extended. But the reality is right now, the current rules are that it won't get extended. And even if, let's say, the House, likely the House may flip to Democrat, but even if it stays Republican, it's Republican in name only right now, Andrew. Let's be honest. I mean, they can't really govern as it is right now. If the Senate goes to Republican, it's only going to be by one or two votes. And depending on what the White House does, it's just hard to know. I think it's still going to be a little bit more of a muddled mess. I don't think you're going to have as much control as the Republicans did back in 2017, where both the House, the Senate, and the White House was at least in more firm control in the Republican side than it was, than it will be likely for this year.
But to be clear, that act does not end until not the end of 2024, but the end of 2025, correct?
Right. We have a full year and a half. So, yes, there's nothing that expires before the end of 2025. And over on the gifting side, there's certainly, you can do permanent gifts. You can use what's called a GRAT. That's a grant to retain annuity trust, which allows you to sort of gift some of your land over a couple year period. If it works really well, great. You've transferred some assets over to the next generation with little or no gift tax cost at all. I mean, you're using any of your lifetime exemption. But if it doesn't work, you get your land back. So, there really is no drawback to using a GRAT in the farm arena. I find up through the last few years, farmers hardly ever used it, but it would have been a perfect tool to use during that rapid increase in prices in 2020, 21, 22, 23 time period. Other options are we can use any type of intentionally defective grantor trust. We can use a spousal lifetime access trust. A SLAT. I mean, Andrew, we love to have all these acronyms. We like to have all these, GRATs and SLATs and IDGETs and so on. But really, farmers that have, let's say, a couple thousand acres of good farmland with little or no debt on it, well, even if they have debt on it, they really need to be working with their good estate tax advisor right now to see what they should be looking at doing. And also realize that attorneys are going to be very busy next year because everybody's thinking, hey, we got to make these changes. We got to make these gifts. So if you're calling up your attorney next June or July to do these transfers, he or she may say, hey, I don't have time for you. You're going to have to go somewhere else. So I've been talking to a few farmers. I still have some farmer friends that have high net worth, and I've been advising them, hey, you need to talk to your advisor right now.
Walk us through the basics on the gifts right now. What are our exemptions for a year, a lifetime, and so forth? What do we have for limits?
So the current annual limit is that a farmer or farm couple can give $18,000 per person. So let's say you have six kids. Well, let's make it four, because let's take my example. So my wife and I, we have four boys. Two of them are married, and we have four grandchildren. So I individually could give $18,000 to each of my four sons, so that's $72,000. I could give $18,000 to my two daughter-in-laws, that's another $36,000. And then I could give $18,000 to each of my grandchildren. Now, that would probably be in trust, but that's another $72,000. So 72 plus 72 plus 36, that's about roughly $180,000 that I could give away. And that doesn't eat into my lifetime exemption. It's as if it didn't happen. And then my wife could do the same thing.
And that's in a year, correct?
That's in a year. So that's about $360,000. And on top of it, if I have let's say I have farmland, which I do. Matter of fact, I have farmland in Missouri, where you're based. If it's in an LLC, a limited liability company, or an LLP, or any type of limited entity, I get to discount that by about 35%. So roughly, my wife and I, as a family, could give to our kids and grandkids about $500,000 of value each year, and it wouldn't eat into our lifetime exemption. Now, the lifetime exemption right now is $13.61 million, so let's say 13.6. But the key is that is comprised of what we call a base exemption and a bonus exemption, and this can get people very confused. Excuse me. Half of that, so about $6.8 million, is the base exemption, and then the other half is the bonus exemption. The bonus exemption gives you no value until you soak up or use the base exemption. So what does that mean? So let's say that farmer goes, well, I know I got this extra $6.8 million. I'll just give about $7 million right now. And then in 2026, I'll still have $7 million of exemption left. It doesn't work that way. Your gifts right now come out of your base exemption first. So if the farmer gives away $7 million, then it comes to 2026, they got no exemption left. They have no lifetime exemption left. So what we're telling FARB couples to do right now is if you're in that situation, and let's say as a couple, you want to give away about $15 million, have one, either husband or wife, give all that away, and the other spouse keep their exemption so that in 2026, when the exemption, if the exemption does go back down, at least one of the spouses will still have a full exemption. So that's something that I think is very important for farm couples out there to understand, is if they are thinking about doing some gifts, get rid of the one spouse's full $13.6 million first, and then do the other spouse. Go ahead and split the gifts.
But that $18,000 per person that we talked about before does not count against my lifetime exemption.
Correct. Correct. It, and a lot of people forget about the fact, hey, you know, we're trying, we have an estate, maybe it's worth $20 million. We're worried about it when, you know, when a couple years down the road, it drops in half. But if they got some kids and grandkids, easily, like I said, my example, I could easily give away $500,000 a year of value. And if you do that for 10 years and you're relatively young, you know, you probably have wiped out your estate problem and you don't have to sit there and do all this complex planning and so on and so forth. So it's just something to be cognizant of, that it doesn't require a lot of fancy trusts and so on. If you, it's just like the time value of money. If you start early, it's easy to take care of it. If you wait until you pass away, then you're too late.
That's where I wanted to go. So walk me through what happens if I don't do this. We pass away, and now I have all of that there that has to, we have to take that somewhere. What's the tax implication of not being ahead of the game on this?
Okay, so the tax implication, let's say that the exemption does drop, and let's use $7 million just as an example. So that's $14 million for a married couple. Let's say they're worth $20 million just as an example. So the couple, their heirs, are facing a tax bill on that extra $6 million of value times 40%, because that's what the current tax rate is for estates. So that's an extra $2.4 million worth of estate taxes. And then possibly in some states, you know, there's about 15, 16 states that have an estate tax. So on top of it, you're facing an estate tax in the state because their exemptions are very low. You know, Oregon's exemption, Connecticut, I think, is at $1 million. Washington State's about $2.2 million. You have states such as Nebraska and Iowa that have an inheritance tax, and that may apply to the heirs having to pay that tax. So now, the interesting thing is that that farmers have what's called a Section 2032 Cap A deduction when they file an estate tax return. But that only potentially reduces their estate by about $1.3 million. It allows them, because right now your farmland might be worth, let's say, $15,000 an acre if you went out and sold it. But based on the rental value, you know, if you took the rental value and so on and do those calculations, maybe it's only worth $7,000 as an example. But you only get to reduce your estate by about $1.3 million. Now, Congress, and I think including President Biden, has proposed maybe increasing that to like $14 million or $13 million. That would certainly be helpful for farmers if that ever happens.
But the tax implication then on your example, to $6 million, depending on the state I live in, they could take almost half of that then.
Yes. Certainly in some states, you could be over 50%.
Yeah. So very important discussions to have.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think, you know, what happens is, just like anything else, procrastination, you know, especially when we're dealing with a sensitive subject, we're dealing with our mortality. And, you know, some people just don't want to face it. I think the important thing is if you face it now, deal with it, communicate your plans to your heirs. That's very important to communicate. I have seen way too many battles among family members due to a lack of communication of the estate plan. Now, they may not like it, but if they know what it is, I think they have time to, hey, I really don't like this. Could you change this? Well, maybe, maybe, maybe not. So it's just something to be aware of.
Paul, talk about how the value is established on land, because you mentioned, you know, land could sell for $15,000 an acre, but it doesn't necessarily have to be valued at that when I pass it along as the gift, correct?
Well, the Section 2032A is a special calculation. Without that, you have to value it based on its highest and best use. That's sort of what the IRS requires. And what does that mean? You know, if your neighbor's land a month ago sold for $16,000 an acre and your land is comparable, you know, approximately the same CSR2 or whatever it is in your state, then you have to value it on the estate tax return at $16,000 an acre. Now, the good news is, Andrew, is if you don't have an estate tax due, you want to value it as high as you can, because we get a step up in basis when somebody passes away. And that step up allows the heirs to, if they sell the land, they're not going to owe any taxes unless there's more appreciation. But a lot of farmers have equipment, buildings, tiling, irrigation equipment, et cetera. And when an heir inherits that property, they get to step it up to fair market value. They then get to start redepreciating that asset over, you know, equipment be over 7 years, buildings would be 10 to 20 years, just depending what type of building it is. Tiling would be probably 15 years. Now, you can't take Section 179. You can't take bonus depreciation on those type of assets, but certainly it does help the heirs mitigate that cost of selling that property after the person passes away.
Looking right now at the U.S. Congress, I believe there's a tax act in the Senate right now, but may not go anywhere. Is that right, before a presidential election?
Yeah, I think the Senate Republicans would like to kill it. Their feeling is, hey, we have more important things to deal with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act next year. They think they're going to be more in control. We got Senator Crapo from Idaho, who is the ranking member of the Senate Finance Committee. He does not like the bill, primarily related to the child tax credit, because essentially the Republicans feel like it's a welfare bill, because it allows people not to work to collect the child tax credits, so that they just don't like that. It requires somebody to work 1 year and they can take the next year off, essentially. Also, speaking of that bill, it would retroactively make bonus depreciation 100%, which for a lot of farmers is something they take advantage of. Because right now for 2023, it's 80%. 2024, it's 60%, then 40%, 20%, and 0%. And what is bonus depreciation, Andrew? Basically, any asset a farmer buys other than land, so buildings, equipment, whether it's used, whether it's new, under the rules from 2000 and late 17 through 2022, a farmer, when they bought that, could deduct 100% of that asset. You know, they didn't have to worry about it. Now that's 80%. And again, like I said, it's dropping. For most farmers, unless they're larger farmers, buying equipment is covered under Section 179, because that's about $1.2 million of value that they can deduct right now. That tax act actually bumped that up a little bit, but it was a very small increase, and it would be effective for 2024. And there was a couple other things that might have apply to farmers. A lot of farmers have been taking advantage of some research and experimentation deductions that used to be 100% deductible. Now you have to amortize that over 5 years. It's still deductible. It's just you don't get an upfront deduction. And once you got through that five-year period, it'd probably be a wash. You know, I think right now the pain is in the first year or two. But once you got through that five-year period, I don't think it would be that big of a deal. But for a lot of farmers, they are facing a larger tax bill than they were planning on.
Paul, in the time we have remaining here, of course, you work with a lot of clients really across the nation. I'm just curious what you're seeing as we move to a time that maybe our margins aren't quite as wide as they have been, and we've just got done, for many of us, paying our tax bill for this past year. What does the year or two look like ahead when we may not have as much income to deal with? Does that change the way we should look at any of our tax strategies or just how we plan for the future?
Well, farmers are really good about kicking the tax can down the road. You know, we and potentially that does help the farmer when they have lower tax years, because what allows them to do is they have some excess grain that they haven't sold. You know, they've been pushing it down the road. It allows them to bring some of that grain back into the current year. Also, most farmers do a lot of prepayment of farm expenses at the end of the year. Maybe they're not going to prepay as much farm expenses. I think we're already seeing it probably in the John Deere price and AGCO and so on. Farmers are just not going to buy as much equipment right now because they just are not facing that large tax bill. So that's going to put a crimp on the purchases of farm equipment. You know, those are some of the things that you typically see. And again, the nice thing about the tax code is farmers, when they have years where they have spikes of income, farm income averaging allows them to sort of pretend like they did spread it over 4 years. So that definitely can help out. I've seen that over the last couple of years where the farmer thought, hey, I'm going to be in the top tax bracket, the 37% tax bracket. We look at his prior 3 years tax returns and we go, no, you're going to be in a 22% bracket because you had lower taxable income, especially 4 years ago, than you do now. So there's definitely some benefits there. But like I say, typically we're going to see, you know, before we were pushing income, you know, to future years, now we're bringing some of that income back into the current years because we're just not having the margins that we had over the last couple of years.
We've talked a little bit about Congress. Of course, we're about 6 months or so away from a presidential election, and there's still a lot of unknowns. But really, are we in a situation where the White House, the Senate, the Congress is so close it could tip either way? Does that, looking down the road, what does that mean for legislation regarding taxes in the states? Because any way we go, it looks like it's going to be a very narrow margin wherever we're at.
I think for a lot of farmers that are, quote, their income's less than $400,000, likely they're going to continue to see at least reductions in tax rates. They'll see maybe an increase in the child tax credit, which is important for those lower income taxpayers, possibly an extension of the Section 199 Cap A deduction. That's also very important to the cooperatives. You know, the cooperatives out there are able to take advantage of that deduction. That is scheduled to disappear at the end of next year. So I think there's a good chance that they'll retain that. I think lower income farmers, you got to remember, if you look at all the Schedule Fs that's ever been filed, you add them all together and it's a negative number. I mean, every year it's a negative number. I don't think Congress views farmers as being huge taxpayers. So they're actually very nice to farmers, or historically have been very nice to farmers. And I think that trend will probably continue.
Is there any good way for me to stay on top of all this? Because I think for a lot of us, it's hard to stay on top of what I need to do and what I should do and to stay ahead on my planning.
Well, I actually, because I do a column for Top Producer, but I also started another blog. It is a subscription-based blog, but I try to post every day, every work day on that, and that's farmcpareport.com. So for your listeners out there, and every once in a while, I put a freebie on there, but the subscription is not that expensive, but certainly I would take a look at farmcpareport.com. Believe me, as we get closer to the end of next year, I will be blogging on it quite a bit. So that would be one good suggestion for him.
Paul, always good to catch up. I appreciate the information.
No problem. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks for joining me on this week's show. Remember, you can follow Farming the Countryside and our daily show, American Countryside, on Facebook, X, Instagram, and YouTube. Just type in Farming the Countryside or American Countryside. And if you miss any of our shows, there's a variety of ways to go back and listen to past programs at farmingthecountryside.com or your favorite podcast platform.
Planting is underway for us this spring. We've gotten some corn and soybeans in the ground. Some folks in northwest Missouri may even have all of their crop in the ground. We still have a ways to go. We'll see what this spring weather brings. Wherever you are, I hope you're having a safe and productive season. Thanks for joining me. I'll catch you next time on Farming the Countryside. This edition of Farming the Countryside has been brought to you by ProFarmer. ProFarmer provides key information to help farmers make profitable decisions. Go to tryprofarmer.com for your free trial today.